Creation Service. Excuse me. Good afternoon. I'm Pastor Peter Sandin here at Calvary, and we just want to welcome you all to a celebration service for Brother Degg. I want to open in prayer today, and then we'll turn it over and get the service moving. So if we could bow our heads, let's pray. Thank you, God, today for this special day, God, for the day that you have made. Thank you for our friend Jim, God. Thank you for the time that we had with him. Some long, some short, God. God, for some of us, maybe we only knew him a short time, God, but we could see in that short time the work that you were doing in his life, the work that you had done in his life, God. He showed us how to have an amazingly great attitude. He showed us determination. God, he showed us kindness even in the face of struggle and challenge, God. God, when we think of him, Lord, let there not be sadness, but let there be joy for who he is and the celebration of his life and what he was able to accomplish and that he is with you, God. When we think of him, let there not be mourning, but let there be comfort, God, that he is without pain and walking with you. God, Lord, we look to you, God, today for our comfort. We look to you today for our joy, God. Let us feel your presence and your peace, God, as we think of our friend, as we think of our father, our uncle, our brother, our son, our grandpa, God, as we think of Jim Degg today. God, be in this service. Comfort us today. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we want to ask Casey to come up and read the obituary.
James Layton Degg, age 73, of Deerfield, passed away on Sunday, December 22nd, 2024. He passed peacefully at UW Hospital and Clinics, surrounded by family, following a heart attack. Jim was born on June 1st, 1951, in Mandan, North Dakota, the son of Albert and Norma Degg. He was raised in North Dakota, where he graduated in the class of 1969 from Mott Lincoln High School. Jim and Delane were high school classmates who began dating after their first year in college. After he graduated from Wahpeton School of Science, Jim entered the U.S. Air Force in September 1971 and was stationed at Ellsworth Air Force Base in Rapid City, South Dakota. Jim and Del were married on December 2, 1972. 6 months later, he was stationed at Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany, where they worked and traveled for 3 years. Upon his honorable discharge and moving back to the U.S., he became employed with Montana Dakota Utilities at the Lewis and Clark Power Plant in Sidney, Montana, for the next 34 years. There they raised their three sons, Dustin, Casey, and Corey. Jim had a massive heart attack in 1997, from which it took him 10 months to recover. He was determined to get back to work as he loved his job at the power plant. In addition to attending to power plant operations, he took pride in keeping the plant neat and clean. His stroke in December 2010 forced him into retirement. Following the two medical events, he frequently told others, "I am a miracle." 2 years later, as God opened the doors, they made their move to Wisconsin to be closer to their sons in November of 2012. In his pre-stroke years, he was a hard worker and always found something constructive to do. His vehicles were hand-washed and waxed frequently, whether they needed it or not. He helped with all of the household duties and especially loved to bake for the kids, he'd say. But we'd find half the cake gone with everyone else saying they'd only had one piece. He had a sweet tooth that Dell helped him control after his stroke when he could no longer help with food preparation. Jim had quite the goofy side and loved to make people laugh. He knew how to break the tension of a disagreement by making Dell laugh. We all hoped for a return to his humor after his stroke. Thankfully, we caught glimpses of that occasionally. In the fall, hunting deer or antelope was his passion. He would sometimes hunt with a buddy or other times would sit in a tree by the river and enjoy the wildlife. I'm just remembering when I went with him. He was always hoping some trophy horns would come by. He was often successful and would keep the horns and donate the rest to others, as his wife was no lover of venison. I thought the sausage was pretty good myself. Jim had a sideline janitorial job at church and used that opportunity to teach his young sons a work ethic. He had them assist him with the incentive of a trip to the bakery for donuts and some allowance money. But I think it was so he could have the donuts. Upon moving to Wisconsin, Jim and Dell learned of the UW Adapted Fitness Program. His love of working with the therapy students there on the University of Wisconsin campus for the last 11 years kept him motivated to work towards his fitness goals. That class and attending church were highlights of every week for him. He received so much love and support from our brothers and sisters in Christ at Calvary Gospel Church. He loved to give and receive hugs. He had a strong faith that inspired others, never complaining about his challenges, nor did he ever get discouraged. When Jim and Dell would face a challenge, he would always remind Dell that God will make a way when there seems to be no way. An old song that he never forgot. He would frequently say, "God is with me." His determination brought him so far with the goal of walking without his cane one day. And now he is doing just that, only on the streets of gold, completely healed. What joy for him to be in his eternal home for Christmas. Though we miss him so much, we know we will see him again, and we find happiness in knowing that he is whole and healed, enjoying the presence of Jesus and loved ones. James is survived by his wife, Delaine, sons, Dustin Degg, Casey Degg, and Corey Degg, sister, Linda Lee, brother, David Degg, grandchildren, Savannah, Landon, Shiloh, Juliet, Nathaniel, Levi, and Eden, step-grandchildren Jocelyn and Caleb, other relatives, and many friends. He was preceded in death by his parents and an infant brother.
You have saved my life. brought me from the darkness into glorious light. You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the sons and daughters, we are ransomed by your Father through the blood. The blood. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the sons and daughters, we are ransomed by your Father through the blood. The blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious
Scripture reading from Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This promise in God's word was a reality for Dad. His faith grew in his later years. When the family faced challenges, just like Casey mentioned, he would say, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Dad would also speak with confidence in light of all his physical limitations, saying, God is with me. Scripture from Isaiah 40:29-31. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Though Dad's physical strength was weakened, there was a hope and a strength within to keep fighting and pressing forward. Even on his last day when death was knocking on his door, he didn't seem too concerned about that. His fight was still evident. His never-give-up attitude left no room for complaining about his condition either. I would ask him how he slept at night, and he always reported that he slept great. He gave his concerns and burdens to the Lord, where Jesus carried the heavy load for him. As I reflect on all this, these characteristics resemble what resting in Christ looks like. Jesus spoke of this rest in Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to take this time to extend Christ's invitation to us all. Though Dad has entered his final rest, there is a rest available for us all to enter, even in the here and now, even before death. Contrary to popular opinion, death does not bring us into rest. Salvation in Christ is that rest that every soul longs for, whether we've identified it or not. The problem is our sin has separated us from God, making us spiritually dead, restless, anxious, with a never-ending search for pleasure and hope and happiness to cope. The free gift of God, eternal life in his Son, is received by faith. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Though we miss Dad, we hold firm to the goodness of God and to the promise of Jesus in John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He has not come into judgment, but he has passed from death to life.
Thank you all for being here to celebrate the life of Jim. I am his oldest son, Dustin, and I'm honored to reflect on his life today. Some knew him as Jimmy, James, Jim, Jimbo, Uncle Jim, Grandpa Jim, or Papa. I knew him as Dad, and a great dad he was. Provider and protector of our family. As a young kid, I saw strength when I saw my dad. My dad can beat up your dad. I don't think I ever said that, but I thought it. I saw security and safety in him. I can remember often riding on the back of his motorcycle, and as long as I had my fingers tightly wrapped around his belt, I didn't fear anything. Thinking back, I can appreciate many instances when Dad took time to spend time with us boys, whether it was to have fun or teach us something. Some memories I have with Dad: practicing baseball, flying kites, fishing, shooting guns and archery, camping, and many motorcycle rides. He would take us to the pool, and I can remember him swimming the length of the pool without coming up for a breath, to our amazement. Dad would get us kids involved with things around the house, like painting, mowing, shoveling snow, changing oil, raking leaves, and gardening. It kept us out of trouble and taught us some life skills. He also helped me with the bodywork on my first car before taking it to get repainted. He went to college for auto body refinishing, so his help was very appreciated. One of my favorite things that we did with Dad was collecting sports cards. He was always excited, no matter who was opening a pack of cards, always anticipating a desirable card. He was always more than willing to make a run to the card shop if anyone wanted to go. Dad passed his hard work ethic to us by hiring us to help with his side job as a church janitor. Along with our pay, bags of day-old donuts were often purchased to eat while we cleaned. They kept morale high, as well as our blood sugar. The donuts were just as much for him as he had a sweet tooth. He taught us that if we wanted something, we had to work for it. When we wanted to earn more money, he would take us out along the highway to comb the roadside for aluminum cans to exchange for cash at the recycling center. How many kids would take up that offer these days? Some things are learned by watching. I watched him eagerly help friends or elderly with anything they might need help with. He was a helper around the house too, baking, cooking, vacuuming, and laundry. sometimes folding clothes, wearing underwear on his head. Just for the reaction he would get. Why not? Some of his greatest hits in the kitchen were goulash, banana bread, brownies, chocolate cake, both with his homemade chocolate frosting. His homemade hot fudge topping for ice cream was also amazing. Another specialty would come out on occasion when the family would play a game of Trouble or Connect Four in the evening. He would make Crispex mix a certain way that was so good, we can't quite replicate it. My dad had a way of talking to my mom in a playful, affectionate voice that told me he loved her without even saying the words. He was always looking to surprise mom with a thoughtful gift for whatever the special occasion happened to be. Sometimes flowers, but he often wanted to give something longer lasting and would be down at the local jewelry store choosing some gems for his gem. The first Valentine's Day after his stroke, mom went to spend the day with him at the extended care facility. She found him crying because he was not able to go buy her a Valentine's gift. After that, there were many more special occasions over the years that he would lament that he could not shop for her and would encourage her to buy something she likes. Dad was meticulous. His favorite vehicle was one that was just washed. After a trip to visit grandparents, he would often wash the family car and then wash our grandparents' car too. His attention to detail was also obvious when it came to painting. As a young man, he painted with a professional painting crew, so when he would paint around door and window frames or along ceiling lines, he would freehand the most precise straight lines where most people would use tape. Dad loved socializing and joking around. It seemed to me that he always had something to say to get a laugh. I always heard laughter when family and friends were around. His sense of humor and quick wit were prominent traits. Something that did not come back as we hoped after the stroke, but we did see it from time to time. Something that struck me as I was reminiscing was how he knew so many store or business owners on a first-name basis. It seemed that he always struck up a conversation with someone when he went into a business. He had a gift for finding common ground with people. Dad was not one to sit around. He liked to be on the move or doing something productive. He really enjoyed hunting. His workplace was right on the Yellowstone River, and his employer owned prime hunting land along the river that he often utilized. He liked guns, bows, knives, magazines, TV shows, and all that went with hunting. It brought him a lot of joy and was the subject of many conversations over the years. He hunted deer, antelope, coyote, pheasant, and I'm probably missing a couple things. He loved a good fish story, too. He probably did more fishing in his younger years, but I can recall when he made a memorable fishing trip to Canada with a group of guys that he would often talk about. He would reload ammunition, sight in his guns, sharpen every knife in the house, and you could literally shave with those knives. When the weather was nice, he would ride his motorcycle to work and wherever he felt like going, often asking one of us kids if we wanted to come with. It was hard to turn down a motorcycle ride. Dad was a fan of the Minnesota Twins and the Vikings. It wasn't uncommon to be startled by his cheers and clapping while watching a game. He liked cologne, always wanting to smell good. He liked his morning coffee or a latte. He loved ketchup, lots of ketchup. It wasn't unusual for him to open a new container before the other one was empty. He was given a red t-shirt that read, "I like ketchup with my ketchup," and he did. He really liked Red Lobster. It was his favorite restaurant to celebrate their wedding anniversary, which they just celebrated in December, 52 years. In December, they also celebrated 14 years of surviving his stroke. Mom and Dad were so happy to celebrate these milestones. After his stroke in 2010, the list of things he was able to enjoy became much shorter. Thankfully, he never complained about not being able to do those things, but rather talked optimistically about doing those things again one day. Considering his options for entertainment being quite limited, he was amazingly content with a TV remote, a word search puzzle, some good snacks, and an amazing caretaker, my mom, who provided good meals that he would profusely thank her for. He had a laser focus on food. Such a focus that one day, after getting a soft serve ice cream cone, he ate it right down to the paper sleeve and kept going. After it was pointed out to him that he was eating the paper, he quickly replied, "Don't worry, it's organic." That got quite a laugh. He would often worry about what he'd get for his next meal. He had to be assured each day that he would not starve. His love language may have been food. He often thanked Mom throughout the day for all that she did for him, and he was very appreciative. His weekly highlights were going to church and to adapted fitness therapy class at the University of Wisconsin. He was blessed by many young students that helped him maintain and improve fitness. My dad demonstrated positivity, optimism, faith, determination, and a good attitude through all of the trials and difficulty he went through, and I hope his example inspires others. In closing, I have a quote that rings true to me. Inheritance is not just money. Sometimes your father's good reputation is enough. And wherever you go, you are told that your father was one of the best people.
Wake up in the morning with the afternoon. My name is Keisha Doyle, and I am deeply touched and greatly honored by Dell inviting me to give a little speech about Jim's involvement with a program that he dearly loved called Adapted Fitness. I am the very lucky person who runs that program, and it's a job where I get to see the best in humanity every day. A job that was made even more special because of the indelible mark that Jim and Dell made on that program and all who knew them. Before I tell you more, though, about Jim's involvement in that program, I want to do a little activity that involves the whole congregation. I forgot to mention I'm a teacher, too. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of a moment, an adventure, an experience that you had with Jim. Okay, set that in your mind. Okay, second part to this activity. Now, I want you to nail it down to one word. One word that describes Jim or that experience, or maybe it's a nickname, whatever it is. I want you to think about it. Okay, again, I'll give you a few seconds to think about that one word. You got it? Not if you have it. Yes? Okay. Now, and by the way, I got permission for this next thing. I want you to say that word out loud, and I actually want you to shout it out loud so that Jim, all the way up in heaven, hears us say it. God too, okay? So I'm going to count down. I'm going to go 3, 2, 1, and when I do that, then everybody's going to shout out their word. Okay, you ready? It takes bravery. You got to be loud. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Amazing! Wow, that was great. But I think we need it a little bit louder, don't you? A little bit, maybe just a smidge. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Amazing! Yes, all right. I think that Jim probably heard that. And if he did, what do you think that he would say with all of us shouting out, with joy, something about him? What do you think? What would he say? I love it. Yes, okay. Yes, he would say, I love it. I love it. Let's say it out together. I love it. Awesome. All right. So the word I chose for Jim was steadfast. Let me give you the definition of steadfast and see what you think. When a person is described as steadfast, it means they are firm and unwavering in their beliefs, principles, and actions, remaining loyal and dependable even in the face of adversity or challenges. Jim was steadfast and genuine in his love for God, his family, and his friends. His dependability, his willingness to be vulnerable, his kindness, and the way in which he was dedicated to getting stronger every day. And he did all of this in the face of adversity. He was indeed steadfast. And this was readily apparent from the moment Jim and Dell joined the Adapted Fitness community in 2013 after moving to Wisconsin. As I alluded to earlier, the Adapted Fitness program is a pretty special place. People of all abilities, all backgrounds, all ages come to the UW to exercise with my undergraduate students who want to be healthcare professionals. One thing that makes the program so special is the reciprocity of learning and caring about each other that goes on between clients and students. Friendships are formed each semester. Jim made lasting friendships with both his fellow clients and the students who worked with him. Jim was part of the wonderful, wacky Wednesday crew of clients, a lively bunch filled with energy, enthusiasm, just a touch of sass, and a competitive spirit, usually egged on by the sole Vikings fan in the room. But it was all done in good fun and good spirits. As these quotes illustrate, Jim's fellow clients loved and admired him. Jim brought so much warmth and positivity to our adapted fitness community. Another said, "I loved racing him on the new step. He didn't always win. I always admired his strength on the leg press." Another one said, "Jim was always so pleasant to be around. He loved adapted fitness and was very motivated by the students." It wasn't just his fellow clients that Jim inspired. It was the many students he worked with over the years. In the 12 years that he was part of the adapted fitness community, Jim worked with and positively impacted the lives and future careers of nearly 150 students. To give you an idea of what he meant to those students, listen to these two quotes. "I truly believe Jim was placed in my life to show me that determination, trust in the Lord, and hugs with a smile can get you far in life. He taught me to show up every day and work hard, and that it was okay to sneak a chocolate bar in occasionally, even if someone tells you not to." The other quote, "Jim was one of the most impactful clients I've ever had. He and Dell were a light to my days every single adapted fitness session. Just as much as I believed I was helping Jim, he was there helping me. The friendship we formed always felt like a stepping stone set by God, and I am forever grateful." With God and Dell at his side, Jim knew he would one day be healed and would walk without his cane. He never gave up. With the twinkle in his bright blue eyes and his big warm smile, Jim was a light for everyone. He always came in ready to work out and give it 110%. And he was always willing to try whatever crazy exercises his students planned for him. With one tiny exception. And that involved conquering a mountain. Each year, folks from Adapted Fitness are encouraged to apply for a scholarship to receive an all-expense-paid adapted skiing adventure in Colorado. Everyone thought Jim would be a shoe-in, but much to our surprise, Jim said, "No way, I'm not doing that." That's when the clients and the students ganged up on Jim to convince him to apply. Not only was Jim awarded the scholarship, but he went from "no way" to "I love it" and showing off for his favorite girl. Rats, we're missing the audio. Can we do that again, please, Jane, if possible? Yeah, let's clap, right? That was awesome. All right. Another thing Jim loved to show off was his favorite piece of machinery. For many of us here today, we might think he was referring to a car, his motorcycle, a power tool, or a hunting gun. But oh, no, no, my friends. Jim will forever be known as the owner of the leg press machine. Every week in Adapted Fitness, he would strive to beat his personal best. And when he did, he'd say, "I own that leg press." But not so fast, my friends. I forgot to mention that Dell was also a client in Adapted Fitness. At the end of each semester, we have a little bragging rights ceremony to celebrate everyone's fitness accomplishments. Jim and his students went first, and of course, they featured his prowess on the leg machine. But a little bit later, Dell and her team came up to the front of the classroom. And what we found out is that actually his wife owned the machine. Because Dell had quietly beaten Jim's record. And although Jim looked a bit perplexed at this sudden change of ownership, you could plainly see his love for Dell written all over his face. As I mentioned earlier, one of the reasons that Jim joined Adapted Fitness all those years ago was so that he could regain the strength to walk without his cane. The determination that Jim showed in achieving his personal best on the leg press was important to achieving that goal. Throughout his last semester in Adapted Fitness, Jim's team of students had been helping him make progress on the leg press while building up his courage to use a new piece of equipment in the gym called a harness track. When we got to the last day of the semester, the students convinced Jim to try the harness. As my students tell it, Jim started off with a tight grip, a death grip on their shoulders when they took away his cane. Then they told him, "This is your moment." At first, he looked at them like they had four heads. Then, putting his ultimate trust in the Lord, he took one step, and his face beamed. He loosened his grip on their shoulders and took a few more steps with tears in his eyes and a huge smile on his face. As he always did, he wanted Dell to share in his accomplishment. Watch these two magical moments and listen to what he says.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm the only one in this.
Hold on to this and set it
deep. Go slower.
Oh, I can't even video.
Is she watching?
Did you hear that? He asked, "Is she watching?" Afterwards, cheers erupted all around the Adaptive Fitness gym. Jim told everyone, "I prayed for this for years. I prayed for this for years." That was Jim's last day in Adapted Fitness. And though we didn't know it at the time, Jim was practicing for God, for the day that he would be made whole and walk the streets of gold. To all of Jim's beautiful family, and especially his incredible wife, Dell, thank you for trusting me to tell a bit of Jim's story. I truly am honored. And to our dear friend Jim, thank you for being steadfast and genuine and all those things that all of you shouted out at the beginning. You were a gift to all of us.
I first met Jim and Dell here at this church. I attend this church with them, and getting to know Jim and Dell, and they were a part of our Building Bridges Connection Group. We have several connection groups, and they became a part of this group that we had to get together. We have like a potluck, and we do prayer requests. We do just basic things, but it was just a lot of fun, and that's really where I got to meet Jim and Dell, and if you guys back there could cue the song, I'm going to sing a short solo to my friend Jim. Just kidding, I'm not singing. That was a joke only Jim would probably get, because once or twice I asked him to sing the national anthem at our Building Bridges group, and to everyone's laughter, I don't know if Jim can sing at all, but I certainly can't, so... Once getting to know Jim, we had a lot in common. I like to hunt, I like to fish, I like to do all the things that you know, Jim would like to do. So we had a lot in common, and we talked about things from deer rifles, scopes, to fishing, to trucks, cars. Jim would research this gun that he wanted, a special Savage caliber, thumbhole stock, laminated, all these things. And I go, yeah. And we would just talk, and he would tell me to look at it. I would look it up and stuff. And yeah, that was a great gun, all these things. And it was just, it was just a way for us to communicate and stuff. And in a lot of ways, Jim was a dreamer. He dreamed about doing all these things. And I knew in reality he probably couldn't do a lot of these things unless God really healed him. But I dreamed with him. I went along and I said, yes, we're going to go shooting. We're gonna go hunting. We're going to do these things. And, you know, Jim just wanted to do all these things. He even wanted the puppy. And I talked him out of that, Dell, by the way, just for you. So, I mean, Jim was always dreaming up things that he wanted, and it was just a lot of fun to be around. And getting to know him, I went along with a lot of those things. And Jim was just a great guy. He was an inspiration for me. Just seeing how hard he worked, looking at the slides that the doctor had and listening to the sons, I wish I would have known him for all my life, really. We would have had so much fun together. But he was always telling me, he was my prayer partner. I was his prayer partner. We'd always pray about just life, anything. He would always ask me, hey, how's your job going? How's business? How's work? How's the family? I'm praying for you. And it was such an encouragement to me. I would see him every church service walk, you know, with his one cane, and he would walk all the way. He just strived to do it. He strived to be whole, to be better, to accomplish his dreams. And I dreamed along with him. Dell told me that every morning when he woke up, he named off all the people that he prayed the night before. And he was really a prayer warrior. He had so much faith in so many things, and he was such an inspiration. And every time I walked through them back doors, I would look to my left. There was Jim and Dell. And it was an inspiration. It was a smile on my face. It was like, oh, Jim's here. Yeah. I'm going to go give him a hug. Give Dell a hug. Shake his hand. How are you doing? Great. Everything's great. Like you said, I love it. He had so many trademark things that he would say. I love it. I'm praying for you, bro. And a lot of times we would pray together, we would talk, and he was, I'm praying that I'm going to get rid of this cane. I'm praying, I'm going to be dancing with you, bro. We're going to dance together. And I knew, hey, I'm having faith. Hey, God can heal him. I believe it. And, you know, in my mind, and in times I even told him, I said, you know what? If it's not in this life, it's going to be up there. I'm gonna be dancing with you, bro. And he was just such an inspiration. He was just so much fun to be around. Recently, Jim and Dell both became greeters in our church, and Jim was just so excited about that. He was so excited. And there's a lot of people that attend a church and we're out mingling and talking, and Jim would always have a mob of people around him. He just had so many friends. Everybody wanted to be around him because he was so positive. And listening to his sons talk, and, you know, that's who your dad was. And he still was. And he was just an amazing guy. And to Dell, you were such an amazing wife to him. You took him everywhere. You did so much for him. I mean, even at our Building Bridges thing, you would take him in, and he'd have to go to the bathroom. You'd bring him food, and Jim would want four pieces of the sweets, and I would try not to, because I have a sweet tooth too, you know, and we were not good together when we sat together, the two gyms. And it was, yeah, we both can't eat this, bud. We just got to knock it off. But you're such an amazing sister and friend, Dell. There's just, there's few people in your life that impact you. And Jim was one of those guys to me. Just his positive, who he was, the struggles he had. He was always so positive. He was just such an impactful person. And He was such an inspiration to me. I mean, who else could get me to wear Minnesota purple? Nobody. I'll tell you that right now. This guy bleeds a little green and gold. But for Jim, I would do it every day. And I close with this. I'm a better person for having to know your guys' dad, grandpa, family, friend. And he was a brother and sister to everybody in this church. And I'm going to miss him as my prayer partner. And thanks for all your guys' words of encouragement.
I do realize that I am the only thing standing between you and a barbecue dinner. And if Jim was here right now, he'd say, let's get it on. Let's hurry up with this thing. I'm Pastor Roy. I've been the honor to be a part of Jim and Dell's lives, and to Sister Dell and to the boys and their wives and all the grandkids and the extended family that's here today. We're so very sorry for the loss of this great man, a man of true convictions, and a man who loved God. He loved his wife. He loved his boys. He loved his daughter-in-laws, his grandkids. And it's really difficult to give honor to a life of such an awesome man with just a few pages of paper. Some years ago, there was a sitcom in which the title of it, I believe, was Life According to Jim. And I've seen it a few times, and I really can't say much other than that Jim in the sitcom, he would not be anyone I think I would want to take life lessons from, nor would I advise anyone to take life lessons from him. But on the other hand, the Jim that I know, he has taught me a few things about life. And although very rarely do I give a title to a funeral sermon, if I could just title this, Life Lessons According to Jim. Proverbs 20, verse 7 reads this, and I like to read the Amplified translation of this. It says, a righteous man who walks in integrity and lives life in accord with his godly beliefs. I think that's one thing that set Jim apart from so many other fathers, is he just not had a belief system, but he had a godly belief system. How blessed, happy, and spiritually secure are his children after him. And this is a living testament that we've witnessed this here today, who have his example to follow. Now, Jim, I did not know him in his younger years, but he had committed his life to the Lord. And over this period of time, he had developed a great faith and a great trust in his God. Jim wanted everyone to know what he had and that close relationship with Jesus Christ. Wanted everyone to know that you can have this as well. It's just not for me. And it was this relationship that carried him. We know and understand that life was not always so easy for Jim. He had a heart attack, I guess you could say fairly young, in his life, and that led to a serious stroke a number of years later. And many of us here today, you knew Jim in the past, I guess you could say. I've only known him, or we've only known him here at Calvary Gospel Church, Jim and Dell, for the last 10 years or so. And when they came here to Calvary Gospel Church, they fit in almost immediately. And they were an easy couple. I said this in our meeting with the family before. Jim and Dell were a very easy couple to fall in love with. Every service, Jim and Dell sit back there in the back, as Jim Rivas made reference to, on the right side, the left side, as you're coming in. And that spot was kind of reserved from them. But Jim would get out of his wheelchair by the bathrooms coming in the south entrance. I would see him coming in, and I would step away a little bit, and He wanted to walk halfway across that vestibule, Dell. He would have his little pit stop. He'd stop and take a little breather, and I would greet him or meet him at that pit stop, and he would always shake my hand, and he wanted a hug. Always had a smile. Always had a smile. He was always so very eager to say hello, and it was always a great day. It was a great day. I knew many times I could watch him and observe, as pastors sometimes do from a distance, that he was struggling. It was not an easy walk, but I could see that determined smile on his face that I am going to do this. I am going to make it. Many times as I would hug his neck, he would just break out weeping. He would say, "Pastor, God is so good. God is so good. I don't know where I would be without Jesus and without Dell." He would always tell me that he had a really great week. When he was in rehab, he would comment about rehab went great. Had a great time. "You should have been there, Pastor. Oh, you should have seen me." My wife and I, we were able to go down one of his sessions down to the University of the Rehab Center and come observe. And he was so excited because he was practicing. They had been working with him on how to get up if he had fallen on the floor. Something that most of us here today, unless we're very aged and struggle with that, but most of us today, if we were laying on the floor and it was time to get up, we would just get up and grab ourselves, pull ourselves up, and away we would go and not think much about it. But for him, that was a huge milestone to be able to take and roll over. And they trained him and taught him how to get back up on his own. And it was such, he was so proud of his rehab team. His outlook on life was always positive. No matter what happened, "God is so good, Pastor." I remember many times we would sit at the table. We'd like to go to Papa Jimmy's there in Cottage Grove. It's a little pizzeria place. And we would go in, and I wasn't for sure how much to indulge on this, but it seemed like everyone seems to think the same, that Jim loved food and Jim loved to eat. Now, Jim would be what I would call a strategic diner. Okay, he ate his meals strategically. And Dell would always be saying, "Slow down, Jim. Are you even tasting it?" And Jim would, or Dell would be talking with my wife Lois, and Jim would be talking with me, and Jim would be, see, the secret was when he would, as he would eat a piece of pizza, he would be, how many pieces of pizza could he eat without Dell catching on to how many pieces he ate? It was always a bit humorous watching out of the corner of my eye as Dell was chatting with Lois and Jim was thinking he was pulling one over on Dell, and finally Dell would look at him and say, "Okay, Jim," in the most loving of ways, "I think you've had enough." "But there's still pizza left. Pastor Roy can't eat all of this on his own." But Jim loved to talk, and many times he talked about deer hunting and turkey hunting, fishing back in Montana, the outdoors, as Jimmy Rivas commented. Jim loved Bridges meetings, the food, the fellowship. But Jim was always looking beyond his current affliction and planning on days, or for that day when he would be able to walk again. Always looking for that day. One lesson he taught me was he always looked for that day, but he never resented the present. He never complained about it. He didn't have any resentment. He loved his wife, Dell. He would brag about her, driving her around. They got a new vehicle, and man, he was so proud of that. "Man, this baby will go, Pastor." And of course, Dell driving it. I mean, come on, girl. Let's get in this thing and let's go. Right up to his last days, Dell called us when Jim had had his heart attack and wasn't for sure how things would unfold. And as the day progressed, things got worse, and we went down. It was late in the evening. Jim was, on a respirator. But he had to talk. He had to talk. I have to be honest. I expected him to just be cooked up to all kinds of tubes and unconscious because I didn't know quite what to expect. But they pulled that respirator off and gave him one he could talk through. And, man, he just talked and talked and talked. Talked about how great the day was and how he was going to get out of here. We had a great time of prayer, great conversation. The doctor came in, talked with Dell, and the news was not good. And Jim's response was, pump me full of meds, doctor, and get me out of here. I'm thinking to myself, here's a man that may only have a few hours to live, and he is just spunky right to the end. Pastor, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going home. Well, Jim, my brother, yes, you did. You made it home. I guess we can say as much as Jim taught us how to love life and live life, how to persevere and to push on no matter what situation you're dealing with. But I sat there in that darkened hospital room reflecting in my own thoughts, lessons in life. Jim Day, loving God, loving family, and loving life no matter what state you are in. Never quit. Never give up. He would say this oftentimes. God's got it. God's got it. Proverbs 24:16, the first half of that verse, it states, for a righteous man falls seven times and rises again. This very much sums up the life of our dear brother and our dear friend. This proverb emphasizes that even righteous individuals will experience setbacks and failures, but they will rise again. So to Dell and the family, to his friends, the Apostle Paul summed it up this way, for to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. And Jim lived by that creed. I'm pretty sure that once Jim's feet hit those golden streets of glory, he hit it running. And more than likely, he ran until he had no more run left in him. And as he sat down to rest, he probably spoke to a group that were sitting around him. He more than likely said something along these lines. Well, I sit here waiting for my friends, for my family, for my Dell to show up. You got anything to eat? You got any chicken? You got any pizza, any cookies? Is there any donuts around here? Life according to Jim. We love you, Jim Digg. And we appreciate you. And thank you. Thank you for just being the best Jim that you could ever be. God bless you this day. Now we have a song that will finish this up. And there will be a special military honor for Jim right out in front of the church. And they'll be underneath the carport area. And the family is going to be dismissed here shortly. But you are all invited to attend this special honor of Jim's service to his country. And the ushers are going to release you row by row. And you can quickly move outside as quickly as you can. And then following the military honors, Dell, along with all the family, has invited all of you to a fellowship. They have a nice meal prepared in the fellowship hall. And you can join in there with the family and share your favorite memories and stories about our friend, Jim Digg. God bless you this day.